thank you very much for your giving to Chi Kring in Cambodia. It's an incredible opportunity to sow in into that mission. And so just really encourage you with that. Thank you. Just a very, very good morning to you this morning. How about we stand to our feet just for a moment? Just we've just been worshiping in the presence of God. We've just been opening our hearts to Him. And I just want to say this morning, you know, you're in the right place at the right time. I believe that God by His Spirit is here. And I know there are hungry hearts. I know there are people that are desperate for just a fresh touch from heaven. That you're hungry. You're wanting God to visit you afresh this morning. And I just at this very moment, let's just move on. We've had awesome worship, and we thank the team for that. We've talked about missions, but just in this moment, I want, it's about you and God. It's about you and your relationship with Him. It's about your future. It's about where you are right now, and it's about where you're going to be in the years that lie ahead. And I just like to pray over us this morning afresh. God, we just thank you that you are an awesome God. We thank you that you are a limitless God, and that as we stand in your presence, there's something about heaven that's come. There's something about your grace. There's something about your love that is moving us, that is changing us, that is lifting us up, that is beginning to give us even more, just a greater glimpse of what you have for our lives. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, over every individual, God, over every family, God, I speak breakthrough, God, I speak healing, God, I speak restoration, I speak that the love of God would come, Lord, would break down walls, would bring healing, change, restoration. God, I pray right now your peace. God, I pray that this morning would be truly an encounter with the living God. I pray that our hearts would be different. We would know that we've met with a God that cares, a God that sees, a God that is able to bring change and hope and healing. And Father, we open our lives to you this morning in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise. Lord, we honor you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Look, before you're seated this morning, you're a great bunch of people. I just think, just for a moment, turn around and just say hi to a few people around you. Just a high five, a handshake. Just quickly communicate. We are the body of Christ. We love each other. We are great friends. Just connect just for a moment now. Thank you very much, music team, worship team. Great, awesome. Give them a hand this morning. Just want to take a few minutes this morning and just bring the word to you. This has been a word that's been on my heart for a little while, and just an opportunity to bring it this morning. Our theme is this whole area of limitless, of opening our lives and continuing on our journey with the fact that God is a limitless God. God is a God that comes. He speaks into our life. He arrests us, as it were, and takes us on an incredible journey. And I'd just like to begin by way of introduction, and Wayne has already spoken part of the scripture this morning, but I'd just like to read this passage of scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, and it says this. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian Christians, and he says this: I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasseth knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How are you going this morning? And then it says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to read that in the Message translation, and it says this: I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. And then it says, this is amazing, God can do anything, you know. Oh, come on, you don't believe that, do you? God can do anything. I'm not John Peter's gospel here. This is the word of God. It says that God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it, listen to this, if not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit working deeply and gently within us. I believe that is just such a word for our hearts today. You see, that the essence of that scripture is that its foundation is in Jesus Christ. It says, Paul says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the very foundation of our life. Everything flows from that foundation. There is no other place of strength. There is no other source of wisdom. Christ is to dwell on every heart and on every life. And from that place of the indwelling Christ, it talks about being strengthened with power on the inner man. It talks about being rooted and established in love. It talks about and being able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And then verse 19 is an incredible passage. You know, sometimes when you read the scripture, sometimes you read it and you think, God, what on earth are you saying? It's so much wider, it's so much bigger, it's so much deeper. Help my mere mind to fathom, to somehow come to grips with what you're saying. And then in verse 19 it says, Paul says, and to know, listen to this, and to know this love that surpasseth knowledge. What do you do with that? To know this love that surpasseth knowledge, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then it says, and he then is able, God is then able to do the immeasurably more, all than we could ever ask or imagine. See, we don't just take that passage of scripture in verse 20 out of context. We put it into the context that it's Christ indwelling the believer. And from that foundation, then there is the immeasurably more. Sometimes we want the more in life. We grasp for this. We're open to that. We search for this. But it's founded in the very person of Jesus Christ. You know, John writes in 1 John chapter 9, the true light. The true light that gives light has come into the world. Jesus Christ, the true light that's come into the world. He's the source of this incredible life. You know, I want to share with you this morning just some things from my heart. See, one of the things that maybe you'll be a little bit amazed at, but Sharon reminded me the other night that it was 40 years in Cambridge, New Zealand, that as a young man, a very young man, very different from where I am now, but a very young man, on Friday night 40 years ago, I got down on my knee. I went like this. I humbled myself. And I said, Shuri, will you be my girl? Will you be my wife? I want you as my girl. And I don't know what I said. But I got down and I humbled myself and I reached out my hand and I actually remember the house and I said, Shuren, will you be my girl for life? And what a journey we've had from that. And I just really believe from my heart this morning as I've been preparing this message, it's actually what God is wanting to do with each one of us this morning. He's wanting to reach out his hand and he's wanting to reach out his heart to each one of us and say, will you come on this journey with me? I want you in my family. I want you in relationship with me, and I want you to come on a journey with me. It's not all about that day. It's not all about that evening and how wonderful and how awesome that evening was. It was Shuren, will you come on this journey? Will you connect with my heart? Will you partner with me? You know, warts and all, you know, don't know where we're going to go, but will you come on me with this journey? This amazing race, this adventure, this marathon, this triathlon, you know, will you come on me on this? See, Shuren didn't know, we didn't know what we're entering into, but we began something. And I believe that Jesus Christ, for each one of our lives today, he's reaching out a hand and saying, will you come on this journey? Oh, I don't know. Might be a bit tough. I may not like it after a while. Where will you take me? Will there be money involved? You know, what's going to happen? I don't know. He won't tell me. He just says, I call you. I call you. I reach out my hand to you and I call you. Will you come on this journey with me? Will you step out? Will you forget? Will you put aside other things? Old flames. Old flames, come with me. You know, I believe there's such a call of God upon our lives for 2019. What an adventure of 2019. What a sense of excitement that we put our hand into his hand and we say, God, lead us, take us. We may not always like the journey. Sometimes it's hilltops, sometimes it's valleys, sometimes it's tough going. But we're on a journey, we're on a pathway, we're following, we're seeking after this awesome God, this limitless God, that God that loves us, that cares for us, that wants to journey with us, take us out of our brokenness, take us out of our crazy thinking sometimes, and take us on this life journey. You know, there's a few passages of scripture that have really been on my heart as I've been thinking about this. You know, I was thinking really that huge question, I'll get to the scriptures in a minute, but God's saying, you know, will you let this awesome, limitless God take you on this wild ride? Let him guide you, shepherd you, direct you, lead you, take you by the hand and journey with you. What will your response be to his extended hand to you? You know, I was thinking about the parable of the sower that Jesus talked about, and he talked about the seed that was being sown. And, you know, it talks about the ground that had it was choked with thorns. And, you know, the things that were stopping that seed from sowing, but were developing and growing in that soil was the worries of this life. You know, these are the things that Jesus talked about, are things that were going to hinder, things that were going to stop us from entering into our destiny and entering into all that God has for us. You know, how many of us struggle with the worries of life? They just batter us. They just come at us from every side at times, the worries of life. Jesus also talked about riches. You think, man, riches won't stop me following God. Oh, so often they do. It's the preoccupation with wealth, the preoccupation of striving, of our jobs, of that sense of I've got to have enough. I've got to pack my life with enough security around me. Then I'll be fulfilled. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll be okay. Worries of this world, man, riches. And then Jesus talked about pleasures. You know, so often distractions can just take us away from that passion, that seeking the face of God, being in the presence of God this morning, worshiping with all our heart. You know, I think a key scripture for us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, and it says this, you know, let us throw off everything that hinders. What a great word for us this morning. Throw it off. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run. Let us run this race. I don't know what your life was like as you came into church this morning. Maybe you sense that sense of entanglement. May you sense the pressure of the world, the worries about this and that. And I just pray this morning that there's a throwing off. Enough of that entanglement over my life. I throw it off in Jesus' name, and I choose to walk in the freedom that you have for me. Freedom comes when we let the indwelling Christ be the source, the foundation, the pool that we draw water from, the very strength of our life. As we let him be that foundation, we find we have that strength to throw off and the sin that so easily entangles, and the strength to run with perseverance. Just again, that illustration with Sharon. You know, imagine if, terrible. You know, we get engaged, but we never run. We get engaged, but we never run. We need to get engaged. We need to get married, but then we need to run. We need to do the journey. We need to engage our hearts with the Spirit of God, and we need to then run. Run with perseverance. Run with patience. Be involved in all that God has got for our hearts and lives. It's different from your neighbor, but it's still a race that you're doing. You're engaging. You're allowing. You're letting God direct and bring change and forward progress in your life. Couple of scriptures, Genesis chapter 15, and it's talking about the life of Abram before he became Abraham. And Abram had great promises. God had visited his life. God had spoken into his life. But in Genesis 15, he was discouraged. He was struggling. He was bemoaning the fact that he was childless. He had no heir. And then it says in Genesis 15, it says, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man will not be your heir. And in that moment, God took Abram, and it says that he led him out. He led him out, and he showed him the heavens. He said, count the stars if you can. And in a sense, he brought him out from where he was, and he showed him. And I believe in a very real way, that's what God is doing more and more in our hearts and lives. He seeks to bring us out, to move us out from where we are, and to begin to grasp, begin to see what God has got prepared for us. You know, being prepared to let God take you on a journey. This will be our walk of faith, as it were. It's moving us from where we are, taking us by the hand, and moving us from where we are to where we need to be. And another man's journey in the Old Testament was Gideon, Judges chapter 6. And if you read the story of Gideon, Gideon is in a terrible place. The Israelites are in a terrible place. They were hiding away from a people called the Midianites, who basically were impoverishing the people. It was very difficult going. Gideon was found, you know, threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding away, trying to eke out an existence, depressed, discouraged, almost giving up on life, but trying to just hold on to some semblance of normality. But an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and speaks to him and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And that word came, and you could easily think, well, what evidence is there of that? But God is the God, the limitless God, that comes into even desperate situations and brings life change. Gideon didn't suddenly, oh, yippee, God is suddenly here, everything's fine. No, it was a journey for Gideon to let that reality sink in. And he struggled with it, and he struggled with the fact, well, is God really speaking to him? And he talks about the circumstances of his life. He talked about, you know, I just feel totally abandoned by God. How can God really be involved in this? I feel lost. I feel away from God. But the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and spoke to him. There were struggles at first, but then he worked that through. He said, you know, my family is the weakest. I'm the least in my family. He had all these excuses, all these things that were wrong, that were, God, you've got the wrong person, you've got the wrong address. But the word of the Lord came to Gideon and took him on a journey, lifted him out of that brokenness. I want to share another scripture. I just want to turn there for a moment. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this has been just a real, I just love this passage of scripture. I love this journey that David went on. And this is the time when Saul had been rejected as king over Israel. and Samuel is sent to anoint the new king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, when they arrived, so this is Jesse and his family, they've come out, and Samuel's going to anoint the one that God shows him that's going to be the new king. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before him. So remember, they had this incredible celebration. They brought all the family here. And so Samuel's aware that this is an awesome moment where the new king of Israel is going to be anointed. And so you know the story, many of you, but the sons are brought forward, and Samuel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is to choose the next king. And so Samuel's standing there, and he sees Eliab, and in his mind, in his own natural thinking, he says, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's a great scripture. And then Jesse called Abinadab. That's a great name, Abinadab, and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And Jesse then said, had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him, we will sit down until he arrives. And so he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy. It's a great description. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. And so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. I want to talk about just this for a moment, about the journey of God's dealing in David's life. And I believe there's some real keys there, and I just want to share these for a moment. Some real keys in our journey to be open to God and what he's doing in our hearts and lives, to bring us up and out, to bring us further on in our journey and our walk with God. And just the first thought that comes from this passage of Scripture is that make sure you are around people that are hearing the voice of God. Make sure that you are in your field, in your world, that you have got people in your world that are hearing from God. Each of us have that opportunity to hear. Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. Each of us can hear the voice of God. But that is something about the blessing of the Church of Jesus Christ, where we can be in right relationship. We can be in a community of believers, then there are people around us that are hearing from God. I remember a situation many years ago where I had inherited, this is a bit of a sad story actually, but I had inherited some money from my family, and I felt I knew what I needed to do with this finance. There was a sense where I had thought about going to a certain man in our church, an elder in our church, to talk to him about this finance that I had. But I felt, no, I knew what I needed to do. I had this plan. It was going to be balanced. It was going to be sorted out. And I just thought, no, John, I can deal with this. I can sort this out. I'm wise enough. I can handle this. So I did handle it, and it ended up to be quite a disaster that took years to sort of unravel. And I realized in my life that I need to make sure, and I'm learning that lesson, to make sure in my life I've got people that, particularly in a time of need, particularly in a time when maybe things are a bit rocky or whatever, I need to be able to have people around my life that I love, that I trust, and that I know are open to God. Because God, can you speak to me? He can say, John, you know, God can speak to me, download, right, no problem at all. But there's something also about protection in the body where I can have others speak into my life. And that is healthy, and that is so what God has for us. You know, I challenge you this morning, be under godly spiritual authority. Be accountable. When you're coming to decisions, and not about your grocery list or anything like that, but when you come to sort of more major decisions in your life, pass it by someone that you trust, that's got a record that you know that are hearing from God. Pass it by. It doesn't necessarily mean to say, oh, well, so-and-so said it, so I'm going to do it. But hear, listen. Oh, you know, someone said something, I take that on board. I listen. You know, I'm open. I'm having an ear to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And so often, God will speak through other brothers and sisters. God will give wisdom. God will give insight. So the first one point I just had this morning was make sure you get around and have people around your life that are hearing from God. Samuel nearly missed it there, but fortunately, Samuel heard from God over David's life. Number two, never be upset or annoyed at days or seasons or small things. I'll say that again. Never be upset or annoyed at days or seasons of small things. David wasn't even considered. He was the youngest. He was the minor. He was the shepherd boy. The family was heading out to this huge event and celebration. David wasn't even asked. He just, well, you know, it's not going to be about you, son. You stay there. You look after the sheep. We've got important business. But David stayed and he shepherded and he looked after the sheep. Never be upset about the days of small things. No one is noticing me. No one noticed what I did. You know, we need to be aware that God sees. We're not living before men, are we? We're not living before men. We're living before God. You know, God sees, God rewards, God lifts up, God positions, God has his way in our hearts and lives. God sees hearts. God sees the journey of our life. Never be upset about the seasons of small things. God will reward. The third thing I just wanted to say was, you know, I think this is powerful. You know, his family saw a shepherd boy. His family saw a shepherd boy. But God saw a king in the making. I just want to say to you this morning, just be careful of people's opinion. Is it really God? Is it really God's heart? Be careful of opinion. Be careful of this. The family saw a shepherd boy, but God saw Israel's future king. You know, we are a people of God. We're a people that seek the face of God for decisions, for his answer, for his breakthrough, for his leading. You know, let's be open to God's voice, to God's leading, for his heartbeat. And just the last one I'd like to share is go after the anointing, the very presence of God. It says that from that day on, the Spirit of God came upon David with power. You know, every opportunity that you have, be it prayer. You know, be at this coming kingdom night that we've got coming up. Be in the presence of God. Seek God's presence for your own life. Seek God's heart. Seek God's presence that you might know that breakthrough in your own life, in your own journey. You know, just recently, a few weeks back, Pastor Don shared about 7 points to activate God's presence in your life. And it struck a chord in my life. And I just thought, you know, this is so important. We think, well, sometimes, yes, we do need to come to the kingdom come night. We do not need to maybe go to a conference sometimes, or we need to do this or need to do that. But I believe also daily sowing into the presence of God in your life. You know, I haven't got one right here, but just simply daily doing the word for today. Daily having some opportunity where you're allowing God, you're allowing a devotional thought to come into your life. But the 7 points that Pastor Don spoke about was prayer. Just taking a few moments each day to pray. Part of that prayer needs to be always prayer starts off with thanksgiving. Never, 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 never start off with prayer going, oh God, I need help. No, always start off with prayer with thanksgiving. Just there's always something you can thank God for. Always come into his presence with thanksgiving. Then we can bring our needs, and then we can have opportunity to listen to God, to tune our ear. God, what are you saying to me today? What do you want to speak into my heart and life today? So there's prayer, there's the word. Let have a devotional life. Just a few minutes each day where you let God speak into your life. Have healthy relationships around your life. I groups are so important. Number four, generosity. Be a sower of seed in your life. Don't be all about me, but let it be about the world about us. You know, was something about missions that was shared this morning about Chikring in Cambodia. Did something about that touch your heart and life where we're thinking, oh God, I could do something. I could sow some seed into that ministry. I could have an effect in that far off distant land. I may never get there, but I may, my money, my finance could make a difference with children, families in that nation. The next one was number five, share your story. You know, I was thinking about that. Share your story is really important, but before you share your story, listen to someone else's story. Because when you listen to someone else's story, it opens the door for you to share your story. Sometimes we're too quick to share our story. Listen to their story, and then there's an opportunity to share your story. And invite someone. Be a gather of people. Never go alone. Who could I invite for prayer? Who could I invite for church? Who could I invite for this event or that event? Be a gather of people around your life. And then the last one was give a meal to God. You know, at times in your life, say, I'm just going to fast this lunch today. I'm going to go without the evening meal. I'm going to give up a meal and spend that time maybe in my devotional. I just give that to God. I just want to share just for a moment a little bit of a personal journey that I've been on and we've been on as a family that has really been a great challenge to our hearts and life. Just near the end of last year and for quite a period of time last year, many of you know Tim and Kristen and little Max, our family have been living with us in our home, and they've been looking at different opportunities to maybe rent a house or us looking at buying a house or whatever. And then at the end of early December last year, Tim and Kristen saw this home, this section with two houses on it in Stanmore Bay up in Whangaparā, and they got absolutely ignited and you know, in raptures over it, you know, excited, pumped, you know, they were over the moon about this. And they shared it with us. Little bit later, Sunday afternoon, we went and visited this property, and I sort of saw great potential with it. I thought, man, this is pretty exciting. But then sort of the reality of kicking in of, whoa, how's this going to work, you know? This is a lot of money, and how could we do it, whatever. Well, blow me down. We went on that journey through that week, visited the lawyer, went to the bank, I hope I'm not boring you with this, but rang a family member and said, and this, I've never asked for money from my family ever in all my life. And I rang up one of my sisters and said, this is what we're looking at doing. Could we borrow $50,000? And I think, John, what are you doing? And it was a nice conversation. And then straight after I said that, she said, that's fine, I trust you. That nearly blew away. I got off the phone call with that. That was just, it was like peace. It was no striving or, you know. And so that was a great hurdle. But with the Thursday, why I needed the 50K was because I needed to go to an auction. And I needed 50K because you can't even bid if you haven't got substantial amounts of money. So get out of there. You're not even involved. So I got the money. I can actually go to the auction. Well, I came down to church that morning. It was a Thursday afternoon in Takapuna. I went down to, came down to prayer here. Boy, I was praying, and I spent quite a bit of time. I was in the mother's room. I pray in the mother's room sometimes, and I got in there and I just really cried out to God. I prayed. I just really sought the face of God. But I just came away from that prayer time with a real sense of peace. I felt a sense of this limitless God was doing something in my life. I haven't got any money, but I'm looking at bidding and buying a property. You know, what is this? So we get to this auction house. I'm feeling quite strong. I'm feeling quite, you know, empowered. I didn't say I'd heard from God. God didn't speak to me by that property. But I was on a journey. I felt quite peaceful. I felt a strength in me. And so we get to the auction house. Bravely, Tim and Kristen came and sat next to me. Well, long story short, we actually ended up buying this property. I mean, we haven't got that money to do that. We've got a house to sell. So then we end up buying this property, and it's sort of, wahoo, you know, this is exciting. Oh, really? You know, no, there's a real sense of excitement, but there's so much else to happen. Well, what eventually happened is we were able to sell our house. Thank God for that. But what a journey. But I guess what I was really wanting to tie into this message this morning is that God wants to take us on a journey. This journey of this house thing was far bigger than me. It stretched us. It's at times been incredibly painful. And it's thrust me into doing things. And I could have just easily put my feet up and just relaxed back at 37 Charlotte. No, we've got our house and all that's fine. But suddenly there's this stretch thing that's happened. And it's been challenging. It's been difficult. But it's been on the journey of God. And I just want to say to you this morning as I come to hand over to Pastor Jesse, look, let God take you on a journey this year. I believe His hand has reached out to you. Whatever the journey it is for you, it may not be buying a house or doing something in that journey, but there's a hand. It's the hand of God. It's the limitless God that's wanting to reach out to you and draw you and take you on a journey and change you and stretch you and grow you into people that you never thought that this would be possible. You never thought you could change. You never thought you could stand in that moment like you're doing right now. But it's the grace of God. It's the limitless God that's come in, that's brought that strength. You've been like Abram of old. You've allowed God to take you by the hand. I don't know whether He took him by the hand, but He led him out and he caused him to see the stars. I just pray there's something of your vision this morning. You're beginning to see the very stars of God. Let God touch your heart. Pastor Jesse.
How good was that word? So good. I don't even feel like I need to preach this morning. I think we basically got it. Who feels like they're going to be leaving more inspired than they came in? Yeah, come on. I think sometimes, I like to think of church as being like a restaurant, and sometimes you visit a buffet and you really want round two. Who knows what I mean? You know, there's an art to eating at a buffet. It's about starting with some soups and some things to get a little bit of stretch happening so that you're able to eat the steak and eat the chicken and eat the fish and eat the pasta and eat the whatever. But I believe this morning that we have had such a good feed, amen, that all I want to do is just round off with a couple of statements, and I think we need to respond to that sermon. And what I love is I believe God's saying something so strong, because basically I could scroll through my message and we'll find some of the similar points, but I believe that God wants to say something quite poignant for us, and that's this. So it's not only a month about Limitless, but that is our theme for the year. And both Pastor Don and myself, we've talked about this already over the month, that Limitless is a prophetic word for us this year. You know, last year we had this whole word about uncharted and that God was going to take us into something new. And who knows that, when you're heading into the uncharted, the maps don't mean anything, right? Because you don't know where you're heading. And as a conference, we had a conference around speak, and that was intentionally us going, God, speak to us. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear where you're taking us. We want to be inspired for more. And this year is about limitless, because we believe that God is taking us collectively as a church into a space that's so much bigger than we could ever hope or dream or imagine. And there's one verse I do want to share before I touch on what I believe that God wants us to respond to this morning. And that's this. It says in Isaiah, it's chapter 54 and verses 2 and 3, and it says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for the Lord will spread you out to the right and to the left. And I believe that's a prophetic word for us collectively as a church and as individuals. That the reason why we're talking about limitless is God wants us to enlarge who we are. He wants us to enlarge our thinking. He wants us to enlarge what we're doing as individuals and as a church. That's what God's calling us to do. But who knows that in order to enlarge, there's a bit of stretch. In order to pull up the tent pegs and stretch it out so that your tent gets larger, there is the stretch. And it's like what Pastor John was saying this morning, that, you know, when he proposed, that's one thing, but then there's a journey and there's stretch. That just like what you're preaching out of Hebrews, where it talks about running the race with endurance, those first couple of kilometers are really easy. I know for me, I run, I only run a couple of K. I don't run marathons or half marathons or anything like that. Taco ran a half marathon the other weekend. What an absolute legend. I know for me, I always start out and I run a couple of Ks and I'm running with some other people from work and I'm high-fiving and I'm telling jokes as we're running and you know, there might be a tree and a branch hanging over the path and I'll jump and high-five the branch and I look like this is easy and then you hit a couple of Ks in, right? And there's the stretch where you need to push in and keep going. Same as we're enlarged, as we think bigger, as we begin to live out what God's calling us to do, there is the stretch. And I love those couple of points you had about the most important thing is, number one, is turn to God, because it's in God, you know, as we've already heard this month, that it's His power in us. I love how it says in John that within us are springs of living water. That's God sustaining us, giving us strength, giving us power to endure. But the other thing is, and I love that point you had, God has also placed people around us, amen, to connect with. When you're struggling, to go and to talk to and have them speak into your life, to pray with you. And that's what I love about church is God's design, because it's about a family, it's about people. It's about each one of us being able to come together and not only connect with God, but connect with each other. To have someone encourage you, to pray with you. And you see, what I want to, the last thought just before we respond, I want to give is this, is that as God is calling us into a new season to stretch, as God is calling you to go after those dreams He's put in your heart, make sure you're surrounded by people who can cheer you on. Make sure you surround yourself with people who can speak into your life and encourage you and pray with you, because that is God's design. If you're not in an I group, why don't you find one? Find people who can pray with you and you can connect with. And this morning, what I want to do is, you know, I don't really want to preach anymore, because I believe that we need to respond to this message around the stretch. And so what I want to do is, just as the band comes up, I want to do something a little bit different, all right? I'm not going to get us to close our eyes and bow our heads. I want to encourage you guys to do something pretty brave. And that's because I would hazard a guess that if God is touching on something about the stretch, if God is touching on something about what it is to get people around you to speak into your life, that there's going to be a few of us who need to respond to this. But this morning, if you are feeling like you are in the middle of the stretch, that you're finding things are tough and you're like, God, you've given me a dream, but I can't see how it's all going to come together, or maybe, you know, you just feel like you're struggling a little bit, why don't you lift your hand in this place? Awesome. Come on. There's hands everywhere. You know, if God is touching on something, then I believe that God is going to bring about a miracle. There's hands everywhere. I'm going to invite you to do something out. Why don't you stand up this morning? And that's for something important. Why don't you stand, if that was you, with your hand up? All over this place. Why don't you stand? Because now, if you're not standing, look at the people around you. For those who are standing this morning, you're in the middle of the stretch. But I know that if you're not standing this morning, as you follow after what God is calling you to do, there will be seasons where you're going through a stretch. And so what I want to do this morning, if you're not standing, why don't you stand right now and you lay hands on somebody who is standing? Because I want to make this a little bit practical, because, you know, it's not only God pulling through in a situation, but God also places us in situations around people to stand and to connect. And as we pray this morning, we're going to pray as a family for those around us. Yeah, this is awesome. Love it. If you're not close to someone, they're a bit far away, feel free to reach your hands out to someone. We're going to pray for these people this morning, and I'm going to lead us in that prayer. And God, I want to thank you that you are so faithful. You are so good. Lord, I thank you that it says in Hebrews that you are faithful even if we're faithless. I still cannot even grasp that thought. That's how faithful you are. It says in Psalms that your faithfulness continues to all generations. I thank you that it says that your love never fails, that you are good, that you are good. That's who you are, God. Lord, we want to start by thanking you and lifting you up for who you are, God, that you are so incredible that nothing is impossible for you. God, that you can do immeasurably more than we could ever hope or imagine or fathom or dream. Lord, I thank you that it says also in your word that your promises are yes and amen. God, that your plans are for good. God, that you work out all things for good. Lord, that's who you are. And we stand on that this morning. And God, right now as a church, on behalf of our church, Lord, I want to lift up every circumstance that is represented by someone standing this morning. Lord, whether people are feeling the stretch within a relationship, God, whether people are feeling the stretch in their finances, whether people are feeling, God, a stretch in their family, their relationships financially, God, whether people are feeling a stretch in stepping out into something that you're calling them to do, Lord, whether it's serving, whether it's leading, God, whether people are feeling a stretch in the middle of a dream, God, Lord, where you have shown them the first step and they've stepped out and they're waiting for that next step and they're feeling the stretch. God, I lift up every circumstance represented this morning. Whether people are feeling the stretch in the middle of a health need, God. Whether there's sickness and they're waiting for a miracle, God. I lift up that circumstance this morning. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we've seen you move the mountains and we believe that you can do it again. God, we thank you that you are faithful. And Lord, I pray that you break through into every circumstance represented this morning. God, we thank you for breakthrough in every circumstance represented this morning. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. And God, right now, I thank you in advance for every miracle. God, I thank you in advance for every word of knowledge that will come. Lord, I thank you in advance for wisdom in the next step. Lord, I thank you in advance, Lord, for relationships being restored. Lord, I thank you in advance for finances being released. God, I thank you in advance for hindrances being removed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, why don't we begin to give him praise this morning? You are worthy, God. Yeah, come on, why don't we lift him up this morning? You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Yeah, let's not finish this morning. Let's give him praise. He is worthy.